The MadTech Podcast Special, focusing on the most important topics in AdTech and MarTech.
Hello and welcome to the ExchangeWire MadTech Podcast. Today, we're going to discuss an important industry issue around privacy and compliance that's come up recently. Last year, the Information Commissioner's Office reviewed the UK's top 100 websites and discovered issues with how more than half of these websites were using their advertising cookies. The ICO has written to these 53 websites and warned them if they didn't take immediate action, they were going to face charges in terms of data protection law, which has actually led to some success and widespread changes. It's also led to a legal case, which has been fascinating to read about in the last week. And I am really pleased to have Stephen Bonner, who is the ICO's Deputy Commissioner, joining me today to go through this case, talk a little bit more about compliance and the importance of these issues. Stephen, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks very much. It's a great pleasure to be here and to talk about these important topics.
No, absolutely delighted to have you on board. And yeah, we'll I'm going to dive right in. Let's go quite general to start. Tell me a little bit about the ICO, just lay some groundwork and your role there in particular.
Yeah, well, the ICO, we're the independent regulator in the UK that exists to empower people about their information rights. Our commissioner puts it beautifully, we're a how-to, not a don't-do. We're there to enable people. We regulate the whole economy. That includes the government, the public sector, and the whole of the private sector. And we have roles to handle eligible complaints, to give guidance to individual and organisations, and take appropriate action when law is broken. And my role as the Deputy Commissioner covering our regulatory supervision is to focus in on those areas where there may be concerns that rules aren't being followed. And I work closely with other teams across the organisation to make sure that we're drawing attention to areas where information can be used responsibly and allow people to use services with confidence. And we do this by providing regulatory certainty to organisations and standing shoulder to shoulder with individuals to make sure their rights are protected. In the last couple of years, we've been focusing on three main areas: children's privacy, AI and biometrics, and ad tech and online tracking. That obviously is why we're here today. We think these are areas where we can see potential harms, and we definitely hear about public concerns in these areas. But we also feel these are the areas with the most significant potential for public benefit, for innovation and growth, if used responsibly. And that's our kind of focus. And my work is to make sure there's a level playing field for everyone, that if some organisations are not playing by the rules and using that to get advantage, we're there to make sure that advantage is taken away and there are strong incentives for all organisations to treat data with respect, because we find that builds trust with consumers, that means they're more happy using services, that means more growth for everyone in a safe and comfortable way.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love that phrase, how to, not don't do. I think that's wonderful and sort of encapsulate the spirit of the work that you guys undertake. So as I mentioned earlier, there was the news that that came out last week that was widely covered around the ICO and a case with Sky Betting, which was on the back of your wider study regarding the UK's top 100 websites. Talk me a little bit through the work that led to that, the results, and yeah, how you feel everything has gone since that case came about.
Yeah, thank you. Now, we've been looking at this topic for quite some time because it's obviously one of the very large, and to people not in the industry, can be a somewhat opaque and murky area. And in our work, we'd identified there is, or there was certainly, and there is still in some places, sort of large-scale non-compliance. There's an interesting question of where do you start? We obviously can't do everywhere all at once at that time, so we've got to pick particular areas. And we were drawn attention to a particular complaint from Clean Up Gambling suggesting that Sky Betting and Gaming may be misusing people's personal information. And that obviously is a concern because of the particular risks associated with that kind of data and vulnerable people who may be exposed to that. So we did a very thorough investigation. I'm delighted to say we did not find any evidence of deliberate misuse in that nature by Sky Betting and Gaming. But as part of that work, alongside our review of the top 100, we did find there were minor ways in which they'd been collecting data without people's consent in a way that was unlawful. And we took steps to take a reprimand. Now, it would have been much worse, but they cooperated fully, upgraded their site very promptly, and the risk here was relatively low. But it clearly shows, and there's a strong message for everybody else, we will take action when we come across this kind of non-compliance. Obviously, we have to be efficient with our resources. So we've also looked at how to move people without having to get to take that kind of regulatory action. And that's where the work across the 100 came from. We saw when we scanned and when we was just normal consumers use the internet, we were aware that very often you were presented with dialogues pretending to give you control that really didn't. that made it so difficult to reject and sort of steered you so heavily towards acceptance. It was actually getting towards being manipulative. So very clear here, we started at the very top. We changed the largest website in the UK, the most popular website, expecting that to lead to a bit of a cascade down the others. That didn't come quite as quickly as we wanted. So then we analysed the top 100 and wrote to those sites that didn't appear to be in compliant. I'm delighted to say that without needing to take further regulatory action against any of them, 99 of the top 100 have now moved away from their obviously non-compliant state where they were. We still have one. We have announced who that is, and they've started, we have a formal investigation there. I'm confident we will get to a good conclusion there around that topic. So I think our sense is that we've made enormous progress on those 100. Clearly much more to be done because the normal websites that we all use is much wider. I'm very encouraged that just from my own ad hoc sampling, I found browsing the web now has more genuine offers presented to me about accept or deny. And our work will be looking at the next 100. And one of the things I'm most excited about is we are building systems to look at the next 1 million, to automate, be able to do this. That's a great phrase. Our bots are coming for your bots. We're using AI to evaluate these sites. We're using chatbots to drive the engagement potentially with organizations, not with a goal to rack up millions of parking tickets across the institution. We just want people to know and move. And those that do move are likely to not experience great regulatory harm. But those that deliberately delay, that are taking advantage, that are making the playing field unfair by harming those who have bothered to respect people's rights, it's not optional for firms to respect people's rights and comply with the law. Non-compliant activity not only undermines protection for consumers, but it harms the interests of business. And we're very keen, and I will be dedicating significant time and effort to making sure this changes for the whole of the UK internet.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting points in there. I think one of the interesting ones is, your work isn't punitive against the industry. I mean, by its nature, I suppose it is, but you don't want that. What you want is for people to play ball, basically, for companies to do the right thing by their public, by the consumers, which is very important. 53 out of 100 is a not inconsiderable figure for non-compliance. Were you surprised when you looked through the top 100 and found that many were not really playing ball?
Yeah, I think unfortunately, as just a normal user of many of these services, it became clear that this was quite a common practice, and therefore I wasn't too surprised. I had expected, particularly given the work we'd done at the very top end, talking with the largest sites, getting them to move, our very public positioning around this. I think it's always challenging because organisations have a lot of priorities. And, a regulator saying, look, you really need to do something about this, or we'll say, do something about this again, is perhaps not very compelling. So we've had to move to steadily more and more onerous behaviour to drive this kind of change. We'd rather have not done that. It would be cheaper and easier for everyone if people had taken on board. But I can absolutely understand, in a world of competing priorities, what we're going to send is increasingly robust messages. And it's very clear from the fact that 99 of the 100 shifted very promptly, it's clear those messages are landing with those large organisations with deep pockets. Clearly, there's a message to every organisation, which side do you want to choose on to be with this? You can go now, start complying with the law, demonstrate to your customers that you care about their rights and respect them and building a trustworthy relationship, or you can delay and drag it on. But our responses are going to get more and more robust because one of the key drivers of regulatory action is ensure no one profits from not breaking the rules. Otherwise, we have an incentive for more people to break the rules. So, there's a very clear message here that we are taking this seriously and we do intend to change all behaviours everywhere. I'm delighted by the enormous progress we've made with these and without having to, invest huge amounts of our time and the time of organisations in taking these through court cases. But we are very comfortable doing that if we need to for organisations that don't move.
Yeah. Do you think as part of this, there's a wider, I suppose, an education piece needed for, you've mentioned the almost manipulation, this obfuscation that people have through their choice boxes. They do provide them, but sometimes it's far easier to accept all than it is to reject 465 different vendors on a website. Do you feel that there are companies have so far seen enough shades of grey that they can act like that? And then there's some education here in what really needs to happen.
I mean, I think it does feel like, as a consumer of these services, talking to other consumers, there's been an attempt to get us to kind of, oh, it's just too complicated. I give up. I'll just accept. It's just easier that way. And that That is a way of operating a business, treat your consumers with disrespect, manipulate them into doing things. I don't think that builds a lasting business. When I was working in the commercial side, we wanted to build trust. We wanted to demonstrate to organizations they could engage with us and customers they could engage with us and we would build with them. I find that gives you sustainable growth. And that's the kind of sustainable growth we want, because there are great things that organizations can do with your data, but those organizations have to earn your trust and individuals need to be confident to share that data, take advantage of it. That's the ecosystem we want to build, because in that world, people are very confident sharing their information. From that, we get better services. We get ad-funded free services that people really appreciate. We get innovation and new ideas get to blossom and flow. That's what we want. But if we deteriorate to a position where individuals feel they're constantly being taken advantage of, they become, understandably, very protective and defensive, and they're unwilling to try new things. They're unwilling to share their information unless they can see a clear benefit to it. And that is a less exciting and vibrant and interesting internet. I want the online world to be exciting and new. So I think we faced a difficult past, but I think we're now at a bit of an inflection point. We're taking this very seriously, but that's partly because when we talk to consumers, they take this very seriously. In our polling, we see sort of 62% of people are very concerned about having personal information sold on to other companies without consent. And 56% are very concerned about companies using the data themselves without that consent. And consent is not being convinced to click a button. It's actually feeling that you can trust this organization, that they're someone you want to have your data because you know it's going to produce a better service. And I think the layers of opaqueness are starting to become clearer and clearer as people ask questions, start to understand these things. And through the changes we've seen, some organizations have started being clear about the benefit to this data, putting prices on it, being clear about that. I think that's really exciting for drawing attention to how this whole ecosystem works. So I think we're at a point of inflection. There's a great opportunity to make improvements here. But sadly, I think people made choices in the past that may, under the pressure they were under, have seemed sensible. But part of our work is letting them know the world is changing. We as a regulator are very focused on this topic and will be taking action. Consumers care about this issue. And the whole ecosystem, as I know you've been covering, is starting to wake up and change those mechanisms so that we can get the excellent services we want, provide, you know, compelling and exciting content supported by interesting adverts that are relevant to people. Everyone is comfortable with that. It's some of the ways that's been operated have not been in line with the law, and we're very keen to see them to move to that so we get a sustainable industry that people can be really excited about engaging with.
Yeah, and I think, and it's another great point there, and you know, I mean, that 62% figure is of concern around it shows exactly where we are really as an industry in terms of how the trust has been weathered away slightly in terms of our data, but also that's still there to be claimed back, and that there is a value exchange with data. And if it is offered properly, as you've said, and if it's, you know, if people are knowing what they're signing up to and not feeling forced just to hit accept all because the next step is arduous and it stops them from reaching the story they're trying to read, then we can be in a better, more creative, probably more wholesome ecosystem for both advertisers, publishers, and ultimately consumers as well. You're right, I think, in terms of like the industry has made poor choices and perhaps lost some of that trust in the past. But I like the idea that we are at the inflection point where we can gain it back. And, you know, like you say, I work in this area. I'm an automatic reject all person, just as a natural skeptic of these things. But I don't want to be, because I do understand the value exchange and I can see the benefit of it. So I'm here for the publishers to impress me as well. A lot of people who are listening will be talking about a privacy first future in the industry. How do you feel that this is changing? And do you feel this could lead to more data complacency because cookies aren't going to be deprecated?
I mean, I think it's back to that point about the inflection, right? It's clear everyone here recognizes the status quo is not working. We're on a downward spiral. We're not building that trust. People are becoming more and more, you know, using blockers, taking other steps, you know, just it's becoming a battle rather than a collaboration to get to the outcome we want. Now, clearly, we're very interested. You know, a lot of this work we've been talking about so far has been about looking at what's already happened, what's out there. In parallel with that, we've got excellent teams, less so in my area. We're much more focused on the when things have gone gone wrong helping fix them, but the ICO has fantastic guidance, is engaged well, can help people. We've got excellent innovation services to answer questions, sandboxes that people can engage with, and we're seeing parts of the industry take advantage of that because we are certain there are really interesting ways to do this out there that build consumer trust, meet the rules and the law, and allow businesses to thrive and grow. So there's the solution exists. We've got to find it. We've got to find one that works for everybody. That's not necessarily going to be easy. I'm delighted by the kind of level of innovation and new things we're seeing and new excitement. That's interesting. Some of them aren't great. They're trying to recreate or even make worse some of the sort of opaqueness and hidden tracking that has existed. And clearly, we will engage and take action against those. Particularly, much of this work we're doing is quite clear to the public. Some of my graver concerns are where some of this processing is happening, where users are not aware at all. And obviously, that's where we have powers to delve into that. And we've done audits of part of the ecosystem that's allowed us to identify areas. And you'll see more action in those as well. But again, there's a choice, right? We have a range of options. Some of those customers are going to get excited about, as you talked about that value exchange. They will be eager to provide information and take part in an ecosystem that respects them and builds and goes well. We have to make sure, as regulators, we take steps to stop parts of the ecosystem that ignore that and try and take advantage. If we do that and there's a level playing field, I'm very confident that interesting things can happen here and we will get to a great solution that supports everybody, because these kind of services, this kind of ecosystem, it's so valuable for the products, services, news, entertainment, all the things we use all the time. This is a fun bit of our lives, right? This is an exciting part that done well can really, back to our kind of thing, it empowers people, right? There's fun and excitement and learning and knowledge, and there's something brilliant about this world, and it's powered by this data. The data's needed, but we can do it in a sort of clean energy way, and that's what we're looking to help with that transition. And I think there's a lot of work to do, a lot of competing ideas. We're engaged to help steer them towards the better ones, the more compliant ones. Clearly, it's not our role to pick the winners. We want to make sure there's a playing field of these ideas and they're fair and competing normally, and we're going to be excited as anyone to see where that gets to and what we have as an outcome.
Fantastic. Well, Stephen, I wish you the best of luck with it. It's been really great to chat to you. I thought we were going to come on and chew the fat a little bit about the case, and we've ended up with a really wonderful industry call to arms on embracing a privacy first and fair future. I've really enjoyed that conversation. So I want to thank you very much again for joining me, and we'll hear back from you in the future. Good luck with everything.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. And thank you all very much for listening. We will see you next time on the MadTech Podcast.